Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode was originally recorded and released in June of 2022 on our Patreon. If you would like access to additional bonus episodes, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, horror movie recap podcast bonus episode for June, for the birth of our queen. And no, I'm not talking about Toni Collette. I'm talking about Sammy Smart.
The true queen. The first queen.
The true queen.
A necessary clarification. We do have two queens.
We can have as many queens as we want. Excuse you for limiting our royalty. Wow. Here we are.
Here we are. Oh my God, you guys, we're recording at a different time than usual. And I gotta say,
I'm being exactly the same.
There's a bit of a different vibe. It's an evening recording. Henley and I are drinking some alcoholic beverages, if you can believe it.
Yes, you guys, I need to warn everyone, I haven't had dinner and I have had two drinks. So
it's that evening energy, baby.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to be hereditary all over again.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh
and that
boy.
Just makes me want to add that, like, I'm only not because I had too much this weekend. And It's not that I'm like not fun in case any, not that people who don't drink aren't fun. That. They are. But I just want people to know that it's like, I wish I was, you know what I mean?
It's important to take some time off every now and again.
I'm taking some time off right now. I'm taking time off. Tonight is time off for me.
That's very good for your body. Also, when you have been hungover recently, the last thing you want to do is drink. Ugh,
yeah, truly, truly. It doesn't even. No, it does sound good to me, but it doesn't. But I couldn't bring it to my lips. You know what I mean? Like, the thought is good, but I know if I went to do it, I'd be like, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes it takes even less than like 12 hours. Like you can wake up hungover and then by 6 p.m. be like, I guess a drink could be good. I don't think that's good to do.
You know what that you know what that reminds me of, Sammy? But sometimes anytime I've been hungover, you've been like, have a Michelada. And I do not want to have a Michelada when I'm hungover. But I saw on Instagram, they fucking targeted me with a Michelada t-shirt. And
they meant it for me.
Spoiler alert. I'm definitely going to buy it for you next year for your birthday.
I can't wait.
You got to wait another year.
A full calendar year for your Michelada t-shirt.
Start out the planning.
It's actually really cute.
I bet.
Honestly, though, as soon as you said that, I was like, a Michelada, though. Like that I can.
Oh, my God. Emily, do you want to pause? You want to go make yourself a Michelada?
I don't. The combo of beer and tomato juice would just absolutely be
That's
terrible for
someone that's been struggling with some heartburn. It can't really get much worse than a Michelada, I guess, or a Bloody Mary. Either way, anything spicy and alcohol.
Tomato juice. Yeah.
Briny.
Yeah.
Those are all the things I love.
Ooh, yeah, everything you said just made my mouth water.
It's also very hot in Los Angeles right now, so I've got a couple fans on. I hope the noise is okay.
It is.
I can't hear it at all.
Is it hot in New York, Kenley?
It's not too hot, but it's hot in this room because I closed all my windows for noise reasons, but it is hot in this room currently.
New York City noise.
Emily, did you know I just looked at the weather app and there is a 50% chance of rain tomorrow and the next day?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely stunned.
I did not know that. And you know what's crazy? I love to check weather apps. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love? I love the hour by hour. And sometimes they'll give you like a 15 minute just to tempt you. They're like, if you pay for premium, you could get this all the time. And it almost works on me because I love knowing what the weather's going to be. I love knowing. I love knowing it. And so I almost always know when it's forecasted to maybe rain. And you know what, Sammy? I have not even checked it today because I keep being like, well, it's just going to be hot. That would be sensational if it rained tomorrow.
I know.
I would love it because I also have to go into work tomorrow. And I like when it rains when I'm at work because it makes everything feel kind of chill.
Cozy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I'd be inside anyway, you know?
Well, you need to move to New York because on the weather app, that's just like the standard weather app that you have on all iPhones. You have a thing where you can check where it will notify you if it's going to rain or currently raining. So it will pop up and it'll be like rain sometime between 9:13 and 9:17 p.m. And it'll tell you like very specific time windows when it's going to rain.
I love that. I love pulling up that radar and watching it move and seeing like, when is the rain going to be over where my house is? I love that. Is it? And especially when it's like, when you get that dark one and you're like, well, that's stormy.
Predicting the weather is so crazy. It's so crazy that humans have been able to do so much. Can you imagine being like early days just mapping the stars too? That's one that always blows my mind.
That's
like, how did anybody ever become an astronomer?
This is sort of different, but a thing I think about too is like when the moon used to provide light.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because like if you go somewhere really dark,
pre-electricity
days. If you go somewhere dark and there's a full moon, it is actually quite bright. Mm-hmm. Like in Joshua Tree, one time I went for a meteor shower and there was like an almost full moon. You couldn't see shit because the moon was too bright.
And they're like shadows, full shadows everywhere.
Yeah, it like casts light.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Fucking crazy, man.
Fucking crazy, man. You know what else is crazy? thank you. This is a bonus episode, which means that it's going out to our patrons who I am so grateful for and I love so much. And it's like I just sat here and said the stupidest shit that just came into my brain. And people want to listen to it. And that's really nice.
It's just nice. People are just being nice.
They're just being nice. They're just being nice to me. And sometimes I catch myself just being like, what are you saying on this podcast? What are you saying? Why are you saying these? Why do you, like, how rude of you to expect other people to have to sit through these things that you're saying? How presumptuous. That's sort of how I felt just now talking about the moon.
Here's the thing, though, Emily, is that it's me and Sammy more than anyone else that is sitting through this gorgeous summary of the moon casting light.
Thank you. It was sort of like poetry.
Not more than anyone else. I didn't mean it like we're more important, more that like we're
you're loving every second of it. You're here in real time.
We're here live, loving
every second of it. Maybe other people do too.
That's really nice. That's really, and you're like, you can't turn me off. The only way to do that would be like, shut up. And that would be so crazy if you did that.
That'd be so mean.
It would be mean.
Can you imagine?
No.
Should I've, you know, I feel like we've talked about it before, but you know, we should revisit like a public feud. It could be fun.
Just having one, just creating one.
Can it be passive aggressive through like Instagram stories? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not speaking to Henley right now and I'll tag you in it.
Well, that's too aggressive.
That. Like every bachelor bachelorette breakup where they like post mutual
statements,
typed text in there. Yeah. Instagram stories.
Are you referring to Katie and John?
Today I am referring to Katie and John. Today I am referring to Katie and John. But as of a few days ago, I also could have been referring to Michelle and Nate.
That's very true.
And at any time, you could be referring to any of them, to be honest.
It's true. It's true.
Like 99% of them haven't stayed together, right?
Correct. That's probably
it's a very high percentage. Yeah. It's not
very high.
A way to meet a life partner.
It's not a way to meet. It's not a way to meet a
life
partner.
But it's a good way to get really famous.
Yes.
It's a great way to get sponsorships. God, it's a good way to get sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a delayed birthday episode for me. We were going to record something for the first half of this month, and we were all together in person, and a recording that we did got ruined.
It did.
First one we've lost in a while.
In a long time, yeah.
It was really sad.
I just forgot how to do it. And also, it was a fluke. It was
technical difficulties. Yeah, no,
Sammy, it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with you.
You did everything right.
Yeah.
It was a real IT crowd, have you tried turning it off and on again situation. I just had to restart my computer and then everything worked again fine, but it was too late at that point.
It's one of those things that's with the recordings. It doesn't always tell you as it's happening when it's being glitchy,
it
and then you finish
that.
And then it goes, oh, by the way, this didn't work. And it's like, yeah. I've been sitting here for an hour. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Let's call him out. Audacity. Mm-hmm. That's on you.
That's mm-hmm. on you. How dare you?
You need to fix that problem. Cause it is really the reason of all of our lost episodes.
That's true. It's also the reason of all of our used episodes.
That's true. It's got a pretty good batting average, I feel like. 99%.
Just in case Audacity like comes after us. I don't want them to come after us.
I wonder who's behind
anything.
Audacity. That just made me think about like whoever's
the
running Audacity.
Figure.
Who is that?
Listens to every podcast for anybody saying something bad about them. They take it away. They take it off your computer and you can't use it.
I do want them to fix that problem though. The dropouts need to be we need to be notified of the dropouts earlier. Anyways, this is another part where it's like people are listening and it's crazy.
Honestly,
so
it's the sort of thing that we simply must stop thinking about, because I will say this after every sentence I speak for the next however long this takes. If I start to think about it too much. But sort of a fun episode in that we all watched the movie because mm-hmm. it's Sammy's birthday episode, and she said, here's what I want you guys to do, and you cannot say no to a birthday girl. This is the one rule we all know to be true. So we all three of us independently watched this movie.
I was laughing out loud.
I'm very excited to hear. Okay, yeah, this week's bonus episode movie
mm-hmm.
is Evil Dead 2, directed by Sam Raimi, written by Sam Raimi and Scott Spiegel, starring Bruce Campbell, Sarah Barry, Dan Hicks, Cassie Wesley, and Richard Domier. And yeah, tell me your guys' initial thoughts. It was all I could think about while I was watching. It was like, what are Emily and Henley thinking about at every scene, every moment? I was just thinking about you guys.
Okay. At first, I was initially extremely confused because I didn't understand what the concept of the movie was, which later after doing a little digging, I was able to grasp.
So I paused it and looked it up because I was certain I had somehow accidentally started Evil Dead, which I haven't heard about in a while, but it was one of our first episodes. But I was like, he already was, he What?
Yeah, he already
did
all
the same reactions. Okay, for the record, I've never seen Evil Dead 2, so I also like had no idea and yeah, had the exact same experience where I was like, "Wait, what the fuck? Are they just pretending Evil Dead 1 didn't happen?"
Yeah, I was like, is Ash just like an idiot or what? No, it is. It's a remake slash sequel slash like reimagining.
A requel.
The original requel.
So I read that they weren't able to get the rights somehow for the original film.
It's so
and so
crazy.
They just like redid it in order to explain why Ash is there.
But also changed it enough for it to feel very confusing. Like they cut most of the characters out.
All the other characters.
Just Ash and Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, it's just weird because it's like just start the movie where Evil Dead ends. Like, you don't need to remind us like why they're in the cabin.
Yeah, I think it's basically like Sam Raimi wanted to make Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 3. And Evil Dead 1 did not end in a way
that made that
possible. And so this movie is a bridge between the two. That is just incredibly confusing, but also, if you let all of that go, very fun. I think if maybe we hadn't talked about Evil Dead, we would have probably all been fine. You know, like I think you can start here, and it's probably less confusing.
Yes, I think
that almost made it more interesting to me, though, because I was just like, "What is happening? Why are they making this choice?" And that kind of made it more engaging in a way. And then, honestly, I mean, we'll get into the recap, but it just made me laugh. Like, it was so
funny,
silly.
It's wild.
In so many places.
So silly.
And that was something that Steven, our guest who did Evil Dead 1 in one of our first episodes, talked about. And, you know, I didn't believe him, of course. But now that I have spent 3 years listening to horror movies, I am in a place where I was able to appreciate how absurd it was and completely get it. I mean, I don't necessarily get it completely, but I was laughing. And that was a big step for me.
Okay, good. That makes me very happy.
This is a big one. A big one in terms, like, we've had movies described to us before where people doing the recaps, you included, Sammy, have said like it's worse to hear this than to see it. Sometimes that's not
this
true.
Is a
there are some things
one for that.
There are some things that like I absolutely don't ever want to lay eyes on. Like I'm certain, for me at least, I'm certain that watching Hereditary would be worse than hearing about it, even though hearing about it was pretty bad. But this. I remember that being said about Evil Dead 1 is like it's not actually like you could watch this and not believing it because it sounded horrifying because you describe things like, you know, chopping like decapitating somebody with an axe. That sounds awful. And I could picture it in my head as very awful. But then the way they do it in this movie is actually
so funny.
Incredibly light.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to see.
Good. OK, I'm glad because it is. It's basically wall-to-wall gore in a way, but it is just done in such it's the tone is comedic, I would say. Like there are jokes throughout and it just, you know, made in the 80s has
it's campy.
It's not hyper realistic.
That's the thing too, is that like I feel like there's and they I know there's been remakes like more modern remakes of Evil Dead or there's a show or something or both. Or
yeah, there is a both. I think the remake is with Jane Levy, directed by Fede Alvarez, who did both are in Don't Breathe, which we just did.
Because I feel like there's a universe where there is a version of this movie that even though it is still silly and campy, I would not want to see because like,
I think
this one, you know, the chainsaw. I hate a chainsaw. You guys know I hate a chainsaw. They never show the chainsaw actually entering a body in a way that is like upsetting to see. And I could imagine a remake having a lot of fun with showing that kind of stuff. And so that was also a big relief for me is like all the moments where I was like, oh no, I can't watch this. They didn't make me. They would cut away to shadow or like only show the other side of it or.
Do
something that would make it manageable for me.
Yeah.
And we'll get to this, but one of the trivia is that the producers insisted upon using different colors of blood to avoid an X rating.
I had a feeling that was, avoiding a rating situation.
So that's part of it, I think, is that like there's one point where it's all green blood. Like it just
one's
looks
blue,
fake.
One's yeah. Even the red blood looks fake. It looks like right. It's really like bright neon. Red. Yeah.
Okay, so it has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's
this is
crazy.
Like widely regarded as one of the best sequels of all time. This movie is basically The Godfather 2, just saying.
Wow.
I dare you to find a list that doesn't include Evil Dead 2 on best sequels of all time. It's in there. 72% on Metacritic, 7.7 on IMDb. And I ate a weed gummy before I watched it, which was my first time dabbling back.
Who are
this is
you?
Sort of a real party episode.
My first time eating an edible since accidentally eating 25 milligrams.
That was too many.
Yeah,
that was
too
many
really
milligrams.
Too many.
This time I went 2.5, a tenth. And I actually really didn't actually even feel it. So
yeah,
I think
2.5 is light, baby light.
You know, I just didn't want to make the same mistake twice. So.
Mm-mm. God, if you had made the same mistake again.
If I had had 25 milligrams.
Okay, don't do 25. Don't do 25. Whatever you do, don't do 25.
How did that even happen again? You misread the packaging?
Yeah, so the packaging had nutritional information that was based on serving size that I thought was based like on the whole cookie. And it was like serving size 50 milligrams. And I thought that meant the whole cookie is 50 milligrams, but I didn't see that the serving size is like a quarter cookie. And so I was like, I don't want to eat. It was something like that where I was like, I don't want to eat the whole thing. So I halved.
You were trying
the
to do
cookie.
Less and
I
you
was
ended
trying
up doing
to,
way more.
A lot more. Yeah.
Terrifying.
But it's like that's on them because a cookie is a one serving situation.
Right. But I guess with weed, it's maybe
sure.
They just have different
but
ways
just make
of
mini cookies.
Inexperienced.
Just make smaller cookies. Don't make me.
Well, I bet on the front of that packaging, it said like 100 milligrams or however many milligrams
right.
The cookie was. It probably said on the front.
Yeah, I probably did.
But you're just being too smart for your own goddamn gut. You're trying to do
I was
math.
Like doing math on the back.
Yep.
How do I protect myself? Yeah, it backfired.
Okay, should we do trivia now or do we watch the trailer now? I always forget what we do first.
Yeah, let's hear some trivia.
Let's hear some
okay.
trivia.
Okay. I was tasked with doing the trivia this week. It's a lot of pressure, but I'll try to follow through.
I believe in you.
Okay, so first up, Bruce Campbell's favorite film of the trilogy, after everything we've said, makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Okay, this next trivia I'm going to tell you guys feels like it can't be real.
Oh, I love those.
Nonetheless, it was in the IMDb trivia. Okay. The sexy, surly Bobby Joe was inspired by Holly Hunter, who was a housemate of Sam Raimi's in the early 80s, along with
yes.
Joel Cohen and Frances McDormand.
Yes. I wrote
what
that down
weird
as
house.
I wrote that down as well because I was just looking at the Wikipedia. If it says it on IMDb and Wikipedia, it's got
to
be true.
Then it's true. Then it's true.
Two user sourced things. But yeah, it said that Spiegel and Raimi, Scott Spiegel is the other writer, wrote it in the house in Silver Lake, Los Angeles, where they were living with the Coen brothers, as well as Frances McDormand, Kathy Bates, and Holly Hunter.
Kathy Bates?
Like, what?
Also, that's just too many people in a house.
That's too many people in a house. This better have been a fucking big house.
Oh, I wish I could just list off the top of my head all the other weird combos that have existed, because this has happened in moments in time.
I know that Robert Pattinson had one. What was Robert Pattinson's? Harry Styles.
Harry Styles
James
has
Corden.
James Corden, yeah.
Wait, what?
I think Robert Pattinson had one, too. I think he lived with Sam Clayton and some other people.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true. I am interested in to know all of the celebrity roommates that have ever been.
Well, obviously, a big one is Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I mean, we all know that combo, but it is weird to think that they were like best friends for so long. And then George Clooney lived with, I can never remember that guy's name. He was on Broadway, dark hair, kind of like funny, was in Mousetrap.
Broadway is not a way to get me to know anything.
Know,
I'm sorry.
And then so many people
dark
in
hair.
Hollywood Hills. who are artists in like the 70s. Anyway, that's not helpful to anyone.
Very fun. Very fun.
Crazy to think about. Okay, so then this is relevant to us. Sam Raimi credits Stephen King for making this sequel happen. He was responsible for acquiring the money. Raimi wasn't able to drum it up himself. Stephen King was a huge, huge, huge fan. And apparently he made a few calls and convinced financiers. How do you say that word?
Financiers.
Financiers.
Financiers. I get nervous every time because it's also a little...
Financiers?
Little Danish, like, little treat at a pastry. And every time I order one, I'm like, anytime I have to order anything in an accent, it's a very stressful time.
Yeah.
I really get stressed about the like pronunciations that, you know, have been bastardized, but saying it right makes you seem like such an asshole.
Do you say, do you guys say gyro or hero?
I say euro, I think.
Euro?
Are we talking G-Y-R-O?
I would say gyro.
Yeah.
I think I say gyro, like there is a G there, but it's like really soft.
Fascinating. Gyro.
I think I say gyro. I think I say it because I don't want them to laugh at me for trying to say something else.
There's no winning. There's no winning.
I don't know that I've ever ordered one out loud.
I don't think I have either.
You just write it down.
But you know what I can't get myself to do? I can't bring myself to say bruschetta. I can't do it.
Oh.
I can't. Neither. I simply can't. I know that it is wrong to say bruschetta. I know that it's wrong.
Oh, I always say bruschetta.
But it doesn't feel as wrong as saying bruschetta. Do you know what I mean? That one feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like wrong, like on a human level, you know, not incorrect, but like wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Bruce Campbell completely improvised the scene where he fights his possessed hand in the kitchen of the cabin.
That's a fun scene.
Sam Raimi praised his performance. It was apparently the first take of the scene.
He does a great job in this movie. He's really like carrying this whole movie on his shoulders. And the tone of the movie is like all on him. And
we gave him a lot of shit in Evil Dead 1. I think that was probably on me, but I felt he redeemed himself.
But then we universally agreed he was hot, though, I think.
I had that question. I had that written down in my notes here. Do we all agree he's hot?
I think he's hot.
Great. Unfortunately, yeah.
Great.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately.
It would be more fun if I didn't, but I simply do. And there's no denying
unanimous.
It.
It's unanimous.
Okay, just a couple more. Most of the film was shot on a set built inside the gymnasium of the Junior Folsom Junior High School in Wadesboro, North Carolina. And I just think it's really funny. Can you imagine being in junior high and knowing that like one of the more popular horror movies
has been
filmed in your gym? That would be crazy.
That'd be fun. I'd be into that.
Okay, the last one. Evil Dead 2 was very popular in Turkey, in Istanbul, and though it was played in two cinemas on the same street simultaneously, it was still shown for over 2 months. Its success led to the re-release of its predecessor, The Evil Dead, in 1990. Oh, no, just the regular release, because that had been denied a release until then.
That's cool.
Yeah. That is cool. I want to go to Istanbul. I've heard Turkey's
I do
very,
too. I've heard it's really cool. And Istanbul's supposed to be really cool. And also there's a lot of street cats.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love street, heard about street cats. They were this was Morocco, not Istanbul. But I'm going to tell the story because it's a great story, which is that when they're filming John Wick Chapter 3, and there's that scene with the dog fight with
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. Oh, my God. I was like, Heidi. That's not right.
Heidi Berry.
With the dogs, they have dogs. She has dogs.
Yep.
Anyway, it was really hard for them to film that sequence because there were so many street cats, and the very well trained show dogs kept getting distracted by all these street cats and like chasing the street cats, which I love that. All these cats were just like fucking everywhere, and they couldn't film because of all the cats.
That's so funny. I would just die to be on that set that day. For a lot of reasons. Okay, should we watch this trailer?
Yes.
Four years ago, in this quiet forest, in this cozy cabin, something happened. Something so frightening. Something so deadly. Something so evil. We prayed it would never happen again. Now, from the creator of Evil Dead, comes Evil Dead 2. Dawn.
I didn't know this had a subtitle.
Oh yeah, Dead by Dawn. This would be such a fun one to see at like a midnight screening or something, or like a drive-in, or like Cinespia. This would be a fun one.
It would. I would even go to that.
Wait, I just want to tell you guys how I watched it.
Sorry, I just have something to say.
Tell us, Henley.
I watched it in the shower.
The movie? Yeah. You always have your phone in the shower, which makes me nervous.
You watched the whole movie from the shower?
No.
A 90-minute shower.
Not the whole thing. No, I was visiting my parents in Maryland, so I put my laptop on the toilet and then
classic
took like a 25-minute shower, which is really not environmentally friendly. Obviously didn't watch the whole thing in the shower, but I took a nice long, I doubt it was even 25 minutes, 15 minutes.
I think it's probably a little better in Maryland. It's California that we're struggling. Maryland also having a shortage.
We have our own, I don't know whether that makes a difference, but my parents have their own well.
I think it
there.
Does make a difference.
Yeah. So 25 minutes, be
easy.
Damned. Anyway, I did watch it in the shower, which also kind of like made it fun too, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, that was brave, honestly. I don't like to be spooked in the shower. I don't like to be spooked in the shower, personally. I find it to be somewhat of a scary place sometimes. It also, as you know, is my favorite place on earth. But like, the second I get a little scared, it's like, oh, this would be a bad time for someone to come kill me.
This would be a bad time.
It's a vulnerable
timing.
It's a vulnerable mm-hmm. place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should we get into talking about this movie?
We should.
Let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Sorry, I like really commandeered that, but I needed to tell you guys that I was in the...
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV... and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary
One last time, that's the number 3DAYBlinds.com/2Scary.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Shower.
No, I'm glad you
did. You didn't know.
I'm glad to know.
So I didn't take like full notes or anything. I figured we can just, you know, between the three of us. There's not a ton of plot in this film.
It's not dense.
It's kind of just hijinks after hijinks, or like scene after scene of silliness.
Yep.
And okay, we start with like feels like a history lesson.
It does.
Of the Necronomicon, a voiceover, someone reminding us about the Necronomicon. Already I'm incredibly confused.
Same.
Well, this is also, I feel like this is very similar to how so many horror movies were at this time, with like The Omen and The Exorcist. Like, don't they both, are they all like do like kind of like a history lesson of like something archaeological that...
Exorcist opens on like an archaeological dig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, my memory is not, I don't remember exactly, but I think they do destroy the Necronomicon in the first one as well. And so there's just a few things that just get rewritten that we just gotta forget happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, this the voiceover is just telling us again about the Necronomicon. The Book of the Dead has some nasty spells in there that can do some bad things, and it went missing in whatever year. And then do we come like straight up to Ash and Linda?
Ash and Linda go into the cabin.
Linda also, by the way, a new actress. Not that I would have remembered her either way, but
that is interesting.
She was played by Betsy Bicker, now Denise Bixler. So just switching everything up, just really trying to confuse us.
Yeah. He's taken her to this cabin, but it seems like it's not his cabin and he hasn't like rented it. Because she's like, what if the people who own it come home? And he's like, no, they won't.
How did they find out about it?
How did they get in this cabin? They're trying to have their romantic time in this cabin. He gives her an hour or a little spyglass necklace,
which I remember we talked about
again.
A lot.
I was like, what the fuck is happening? That I think is when I actually looked it up. So I was like, I have heard about this one. So a little bit different.
The necklace is like the only symbol of anything. It's like all of the emotional moments revolve around this necklace in the first one.
Massive.
It's just like so symbolic of a life that he's fighting for. And so the necklace becomes his whole motivation in various scenes.
This beautiful necklace.
The writing is so funny because I think when he gives her the necklace and then he asks if she wants to have champagne and she's like, sure. And then he says, after all, I'm a man and you're a woman.
they're really having fun. They're gonna fuck. She does some ballet dancing, which I found very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting choice on her end.
In mine, it was like everything was also out of sync. Was that the case for you guys? Because it was only in this scene and then it synced up. But I was like,
that didn't happen for me. I don't know if I noticed.
So maybe not. I was really transfixed by the ballet dancing.
I was transfixed by
beautiful
the ballet dancing.
Well,
and
dancing.
She's dancing to Ash playing the piano. I mean, we shouldn't spend too much time in this opening, but it was outrageous. Ash is playing a very dramatic waltz on the piano.
How do you start your weekend trips?
I was going to say, you guys have never belly danced while your boyfriend plays a dramatic waltz?
We walk in, I say, Joel, get on those keys, and I just start doing
tickle those ivories.
My own
little waltz.
It's really funny to think about Emily, and especially because you are
two.
Good at dancing. You are good at dancing. So
and Joel can play those keys. He can't, but I will make him.
He should learn just this
really
song
funny.
And this song only.
Yeah, not dancing together, she's just dancing for him while he does his own thing. Pretty fun.
And then pretty soon they find the tape recorder, right? That's the next thing I've written down.
Yeah, and he starts playing it on speaker.
Which is, I feel like, a lesson we learned from, again, the first... I'm going to stop referencing back to the first film.
Sure, yeah.
But it is something that we all know... Don't play do that. Something that sounds like ominous and maybe there's some Latin words in it and it seems like it's reciting a spell type of thing. Probably best to just not partake.
I think the thing that was funniest about this scene to me is that he's listening to this recording, right? And it's so dramatic and he's shocked. And it's about this very intense discovery this person has made that's very serious. And then the thing that he's talking about is right there on the table. He's like, I've discovered the Book of the Dead. It's blah, 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 blah. And then he looks over and it's right there on the table. And he just picks it up and he flips through it. Like it's like a casual paperback. Like he's in the line at a grocery store. Like it's like, what's this fucking sacred, very important item doing just casually on the desk? Why is it here? Anyway, that just made me laugh.
That's the mystery. Yep. What the heck is going on in this cabin? And also, like, given what we know about the previous inhabitants, like, why the fuck did Ash and Linda think it was just vacant?
Yeah, how do they know them? What's the connection?
Where did they get this address?
I truly don't know. They drove seemingly to the middle of nowhere to a cabin they didn't know was unoccupied. It won't matter, but, you know, still, poor planning.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also, the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you. And this tape recording awakens an evil spirit, and we get a lot of those POV shots, evil spirit POV with like loud noises as it runs through the woods towards the cabin, and it takes Linda first. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember what happened.
I think he just hears her scream, and then he goes to her, and she's been like flung out, pulled by the evil spirit into the woods out the broken window. And so he goes to find her.
Okay, and this is where she like comes out of the ground, right? Comes out of the dirt.
No, she comes up to him and looks crazy and evil.
Okay, you guys tell it because I don't have it written down.
I don't have it written down either. What I remember happening is he's like looking for her in the woods, like Linda, Linda, and it's getting dark, and he's running through the woods, and he sees her, and she's like, ah! And is like, looks like freaky, and like her teeth are weird, and she's like, so, and I think he gets knocked out.
Then when he wakes up, there's a very dramatic 360. That's a slow 360. He wakes up and he looks around, and it's like slow all the way around. And then he says to himself, it's gone. The sun drove it away.
Oh, because when he wakes up and he starts turning into gross, creepy, but the sun shines on him, and then, yeah, the sun, oh, the sun, he realizes he's normal. The sun drove it away.
And then he tries to leave, and then he realizes there's a massive cavern now, or the bridge that was connecting him.
Oh, it's like wrecked in a ridiculous way. It looks like as if it was torn up from the gods.
Yeah. So he can't leave.
And there was a shot in here where he flies through the woods, right? The like spirit,
yeah,
like
definitely flies him through the woods,
which was like one of my favorite shots. It's like a almost like a Requiem for a Dream. I feel like does the same thing where the camera is mounted to the person and it's sped up, so it looks like he's flying through these trees. But then he does like full loops and turns all around. It's
they were having a lot of fun with camera stuff.
Yeah.
And the spirit, too, is like when the sun comes out, it looks like it's the smoke. There's like all this smoke and fog, and it looks like it just like sucks back into the earth. And it's fun to imagine that they just like reversed footage of like smoke coming. I don't know. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. A lot of fun. Clever cinematography. They're having a good time. I'm having a great time.
I was also having a great time. And so then I think like darkness falls.
Well, so we get a little shot of the professor's daughter arriving, or his scientist or whoever it was on the recording. His daughter arrives via plane. And God, I love the 80s where being like preppy was so in. And it's so funny. She has blonde hair, a polo shirt. She has a very blonde polo donned boyfriend. And they're giving great exposition where she's hopping off of this plane. And he's like, welcome home. Like, what'd you find? And she's like, it's great. Like, I found pages from the Book of the Dead. I can't wait to show you. And it's so casual and so, like, affected. It's so weird.
And like, just I love nobody them. Behaves this way.
No, it was so crazy. And so we get an intro for those two characters.
They are coming to the cabin.
Their names are Annie and Ed.
Meanwhile, is this when the girlfriend comes back?
I think she reanimates. This is a really delightful scene.
We get, I think, like, her hand comes out of the dirt. Maybe I'm imagining
Had he already chopped her head off? I think
he chopped her head off.
That's
he
part of the initial yes. fight.
The night before, when she gets evil, he chops her head off with a shovel. One clean little swipe right off. Oh, and then he buries her.
And he buries her
in the ground.
And he cries. He's very sad.
And cries. That's when I think the forest whips him around and knocks him out. And then he's saved by daylight.
Yep. And so now she reanimates, comes out of the dirt, and finds her head and, like, roughly reattaches it.
She does, like, a little dance with her head, and she's, like, fully decomposed.
Like, rolling it around.
Even though it's been one night. But, yeah, she's doing she's ballet dancing again, and she's, like, using her head as sort of a prop.
It looks like weird claymation.
It's definitely claymation, yeah.
And the music is... It's the waltz that he was playing on the piano, yes. But it's like a whistly version. So it's like
a reprise.
It was incredible whistling.
I wrote in my notes, it was like
I'm a pretty good whistler.
I'm very bad at whistling.
You're a good whistler? Yeah. But I don't remember the waltz.
But it was slow. It was really outrageous. So imagine a claymation figurine with a fake head doing this jaunty dance to a whistling tune.
It's very funny. It looks a little like Nightmare Before Christmassy.
It really does, yeah. And he's, like, sort of mesmerized by it.
How could you not be?
But then she pretty quickly, like, reaches her hands through some, he had, like, boarded up the windows and she grabs his head, starts slamming his head over and over again into the wooden boards, trying to beat the shit out of him and kill him.
And I just know eventually she gets her hands on a freaking chainsaw.
And then she gets her hands on a freaking chainsaw.
At some point, he, like, grabs her head and puts it in, like, a clamp.
Oh, that's what happens. Her head comes flying in. I think she throws her own head inside and it bites down on his hand. And so with her little evil mouth, she's, like, clamped down on his hand really hard and he can't get her head off his hand. And so he's, like, running around and he's, like, screaming and she's just, like, slamming her head into things like it's a jar stuck on his hand and, like, bashing it around. And then he remembers there's a shed with tools. And so he takes her head on his hand into the tool shed and puts her head inside one of those, like, clamps that holds things in place, mm-hmm. and clamps it so that her head is stuck there so he's able to get his hand out. And then he finds a chainsaw.
Her body gets a chainsaw,
that's right,
and attacks him with it, and they do a little dance. He's trying to get the upper hand, and eventually, I guess maybe because she can't see she eventually chainsaws herself in half, a hot dog style, baby. You know it's hot dog style. And takes care of herself,
but then Ash has to take care of the head. Ash picks up the chainsaw, goes to her face, which turns back into normal girlfriend for a minute. She's trying to plead with him and it's not working, and so she gets mad and she gets evil again, and she goes, like, and, like, screams at him, and then he goes to chainsaw her head. But I was pleased we cut away. We just see shadow, we don't actually see her head being chainsawed, so I was okay with it.
I did write down that he said, "You're going down." So that was one line he said right before he chainsawed her head in half.
You're going down. Pretty badass, Ash. And then I guess he goes back inside and to compose himself.
Yeah, he's, like, pretty fucked up from what just happened, understandably. He's, like, sitting in a rocking chair and rocking back and forth and is, like, really not doing well.
Does he get up and look in the mirror?
Yeah.
I think this he gets up, the looks mirror. In the mirror. He's like, you're fine. And then his mirror self comes out and is like, you just chainsawed your girlfriend. Like, you're not fine. this part is clearly another actor with prosthetics on his face. Yes. For some of this, like when they're actually face to face.
I thought it was him.
I didn't catch that.
I don't know. I didn't notice.
I want to find out because it was definitely.
I mean, it has to be him, at some point.
I don't think they had the technology to like not make it another physical person at some point. There's a moment where I was like, is this person wearing like a fake chin? It just looks like really bizarre to me.
That's funny.
In a way that was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, he starts like fighting with his own mirror self and wins, I guess.
Yeah. And then something happens with the rocking chair, or maybe that's later. I don't remember.
There's all sorts of moments where they're like, you know, the items in the cabin sort of get possessed for a minute, but then go back to not being possessed. Like the rocking chair is like swaying, but then it stops. Or like the little, there's a deer head mounted on the wall that every now and again will like look at him and be creepy, but then it goes back to being not creepy.
There's a part where all of the objects in the house at once start like laughing at him.
Oh, it's so fun.
And then he starts laughing as if he's also maybe getting possessed. I feel like this is like the image that I have seen a lot from this movie of him just like unhinged, like looking into camera, basically laughing like a crazy person. It's all very fun.
Well, I can't remember why this happens, but his hand somehow gets possessed.
Well, because
she bit him. Because the okay, she bit him. What's the word I'm looking for?
Infected.
She infected him.
No, diseased.
She passed along.
I don't know what I was trying to say. She
passed along the demon through bite.
Bite.
This is the excellent hand acting that we have mentioned before, where his hand now is possessed. It's been infected and is no longer acting in accordance with the rest of his body. So he has a full-on physical fight. With the hand that is trying to murder him.
There's a part where the hand is smashing plates over his head, and it reminded me of the Invisible Man.
Yes. Yeah, it starts trying to strangle him, and then he like runs into the kitchen, and then it starts smashing plates over his head, and then it knocks him out. His hand like knocks him out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's lying on the ground, and so he's unconscious, but the hand is still alive, and he's fallen like near a knife. And so the hand like grips the ground and pulls him forward and grips the ground and pulls him forward, which is very fun, trying to get to a knife. He wakes up just in time, gets another. Oh, it's going for like a butcher's knife. He gets a regular kitchen knife, stabs his own hand, which I was like, oh, yeah. His own hand to keep it in place. And it's like, also the hand is like making little noises on its own. It's like,
the hand like really screaming funny. And stuff.
And sort of like the little alien that comes out of the stomach in Alien, in the first one.
Yeah, where he goes,
and it like scoots across the ground. So he stabs it in place. He grabs a butcher knife and he goes to chop his own freaking hand off. But again, we don't see it. And I'm very happy about this.
Also, a pretty bold move, I feel like. I mean, I guess.
I mean, your hand's trying to kill you.
I guess what else are you going to do? But also, like, how do you know that it hasn't spread further than your hand?
That's true. I guess, so you're sort of like, things are bad all over the place.
You're
flying by the seat of your pants. But yeah, I mean, pretty huge move. He's not doing great mentally in this moment, I wouldn't say. So
I think somewhere in here we meet, we cut to
wait,
the
first
daughter.
Before we cut away, I just got to say that once he gets his hand off, he traps it like underneath a suit or like a bucket or something
bucket.
And puts books.
A bucket and some books.
And puts like two books on top of it. And the book on top of it is A Farewell to Arms, which I really appreciated that joke.
It's a very funny joke. But it scoots away. It gets out. He hears like and like looks over, and the hand has managed to get away from.
Escape.
So this hand is still alive. It's just no longer attached to his body. But yes, then Henley, I believe we cut away.
Well, yeah, I think so. The daughter is trying to get to the cabin. The preppy daughter is trying to get to the cabin. Annie, and the cavern is obviously in the way, and they stumble upon Bobby Joe and Ed, who are locals. Who are Bobby Joe
and Ed? It's Bobby Joe and Jake. Ed is her boyfriend.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
And
yeah, I know.
I have no idea who they are.
They are the most mismatched pair I have ever seen on screen.
It's crazy.
Not just age seems like there's a big weird age thing happening. Vibe wise, incredibly
different. Completely
different. Style, aesthetic.
His vibe is like House of Wax, like creepy truck man who's like, avoid this man.
And she's like Heathers. She's like the most popular yeah. Heather. It's so weird. It's just weird. But
I completely agree. It really threw me too. And I kept thinking, like, is this just the 80s and how things were? Like, why do I feel this way? Why am I so confused?
It was like almost like they were in two different movies.
Yeah.
Well,
but they were both in this.
Bobby Joe and Jake are a pair, and I guess they're dating. I don't know. We have no backstory for them.
They're definitely dating or something.
Yeah.
Bobby Joe!
And they say that they will lead Annie and Ed to the house because they know of a trail that goes to the house.
If they pay him $100. So now they're all going to the cabin.
So everyone's headed to the cabin. And one little piece of trivia is it cuts back to Bruce Campbell, Ash now. And apparently, I didn't really notice this, honestly, when I was watching. But apparently, when he's like wrapping up his stump of a hand, you can see his other hand through the stump. Apparently, it's very obvious.
I mean, I just kept noticing how obvious it is that it's like the exact same length at the end of the stump as his other hand, which obviously right. It's just his hand inside a thing. So it's like it's the exact size and shape of a hand inside of a.
It's almost like he was flexing his hand, though, in the stump. Apparently, it was really obvious. Like, you could see his fingers like moving around.
It's very funny.
Well, this is, I feel like, a very rewatchable film. So next time I see it, I'll keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they arrive, right, and see Ash basically looking like he's at a crime scene. And Annie assumes that he has killed her parents because this cabin belonged to her parents, who's the professor and his wife that recorded mm-hmm. the tape recording. And, you know.
Oh, well, yeah. When they go to come in the cabin and Ash has the place totally like boarded up because now he's freaking out. He's gotten a shotgun the same place that he got the chainsaw. And so he hears them coming. Someone trying to get in the house, which this whole time has been an evil spirit. So he shoots his shotgun at the door.
Yep.
Catches Bobby Joe in the shoulder. So then they all come in mad. They think he's a lunatic. They attack him. Jake is his name. Punches Jake. Him and like knocks him out. And so then they all come in. They think that Ash is a murderer, and they're like, so they just shove him in the basement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They like literally just drop his body down the basement stairs. In a way that I really feel like he would have died. He really tumbles down those stairs sort of head first.
Yeah.
Onto some hard floor.
Yeah. It looks bad. It looks bad. But he doesn't die.
They shove him down into the cellar and they lock the cellar door.
But it's like that chain with some give, like I feel like in the first Evil Dead 2, where they can push it up enough so that you can see a little face being like, hee hee hee, evil spirit down here. But then I guess they do some like research that or like look at the tapes and realize that
they start playing the tape recorder and they hear her dad literally saying on it, my wife is dead. She got possessed by a demon. I will be dead soon.
And he says, my wife is has been possessed by a demon and I buried her in the basement. And
he said, I couldn't bring myself to dismember the body. So I put her in the, and down in the cellar.
And Ash is literally in the basement like, are you serious? Like, oh, come on. Down here. And like right on time, she like reanimates, I feel like, and comes to life mm-hmm. and attacks him.
And they won't let him out. Because they still don't know whether or not to trust him. So there's a fight going on in the basement and he's begging them to let him out. And I don't know what they eventually do change their mind and they do let.
I think they see her and they're like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And they do let him out and manage to still lock her back in there.
And then she turns, she does kind of what Linda did before, where she like turns back into normal mom. Mm-hmm. And then she starts doing some real gratuitous emotional shit.
Baby, don't say a word.
She's trying to get her daughter to be like, I'm not a demon. Remember I used to sing this song to you? Would a demon sing this song to you?
Would a demon sing this song to you?
They all give up on that act so fast, though. They like don't even wait to see if it's going to work before they go like, just kidding. I mean, it's like, come on. Try.
But you're right. She really does lay into it thick. She's also like, you were 6 months old when you took your first step. So like she like recites facts from her life, which I do think is quite that's intense.
Powerful.
Yeah.
It's really impressive for a demon. I don't know how it happens, but then Ed gets possessed. That's the next thing I have in my notes.
I think she gets, yeah, he just gets possessed.
It just happens.
Sometimes it just happens. So he starts to get possessed. His head turns around, his body all crazy. The mom gets possessed again, and they're trying to shut, she's like crawling out of the cellar door, and then so they're shutting it on her head and like trying to push the door on her head, which makes one of her eyeballs pop out and it goes straight into Bobby Jones' mouth.
So crazy. That was so crazy.
So everybody's pretty upset. We managed to shut mom back down in the cellar. Ed is dunzo bunzo and everybody else is okay.
I think Bobby Joe like runs out, right? She leaves and she's like, I'm out of here.
Yep, I think she does run into the woods.
And then, wait, okay, so then I think that they kill the mom and they kill Ed, and this is when the green blood is everywhere, I'm pretty sure. There's like a big massacre, green blood is everywhere, and then Bobby Joe and Jake say, like, reveal that the trail's gone. They, like, try to leave, and then they're like, the trail's gone, it's not there anymore. Right.
And yeah, I think Bobby Joe, yeah, that is then like, I don't care. She's so freaked out. She's like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And she runs out and we follow her and we see that pretty much immediately that evil forest spirit gets her. And is this in the first one was someone penetrated by a tree?
But that didn't happen in this one.
It didn't happen here, but she does get a bunch of vines come out from trees and like wrap themselves around her and strangle her and pull on her legs, and she gets yanked into the woods. And I think we're just, you know, assuming
that, yeah, she's, I was done. Happy to be spared another tree, yeah, rape. Though some vines do go into her mouth in a way that I did not like.
I did think that's where we were, yeah, leading. We don't go all the way there this time.
And then back at the cabin, we see Ash and Annie looking through, is it maybe the Necronomicon or like papers or something? And she
brought some pages with her.
Right. And somewhere there's a drawing of a man in the 1300s that is, she's like, this is the man that they called, I can't remember. Oh, he who has come from the skies and like he can defeat this evil spirit or something like that. And because I've seen Army of Darkness,
You know who it is.
I know who it is.
Yeah, which is very fun.
It's Ash.
It's Ash. It's Ash. Don't tell. Then is this when Jake is like, we got to go after Bobby Joe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to.
Wait, it's really funny because he's like, these pages mean nothing. And he grabs them from her. And rather than he like his hand holding them, like goes right past
above
the fireplace. Like he could have very much thrown it into the fireplace if he wanted to make a statement. But he instead keeps moving and then tosses them in the cellar, which I thought was funny.
It was very funny.
It's like, we want to make it a struggle to get them, but still have them.
Not impossible.
Still have them exist.
Yes, he tosses the pages in the basement and then holds the shotgun up to them and says, we're going to go after Bobby Joe.
And then
Ash gets possessed again when he's outside.
And he attacks Jake.
Does he kill Jake? I can't remember.
No, Jake is killed by the mom who pulls him into the basement. But I don't really remember that.
So, yeah, I don't really remember any of this either. But so they go outside. Ash gets possessed again.
So Jake and Annie go back in the cabin.
Craziness ensues.
Craziness.
Annie and Jake go back in the cabin, and Annie stabs Jake, thinking that he's Ash.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, my God. She pulls, it's like this, like, death weapon that, I don't know, that gets, like, revealed that she had or her father had, whatever, which is, it's like, looks like a spine. It's like a big stabby thing that looks like a spine with a little head on top. But when she stabs it, so someone is trying to come in the door, and she thinks it's Ash. And so the person comes, she's hiding behind a corner, and the person comes in, and she just stabs him in the chest. But it's actually Jake. So she stabbed him. But it's this thing that when she's holding it looks like this, like super scary, like made of bone, black, crazy weapon. And it then when it is stabbed in his chest, it moves around like a piece of rubber. It is so funny. Even when she then goes to like pull it back out, it is so clearly like just a like prop. A full, like a rubber chicken tier prop. Yeah. It's so funny.
I love it. I mean, that's the charm of this movie.
It's the charm of this movie. But so, yeah, she stabs Jake in the chest, has to drag him through the house because he's been stabbed in the chest. He can't walk. And so he's laying on the ground where, yeah, then the mom is able to grab him, I guess, and just grabs him by the head with her like thumbs in his eyeballs, eye sockets, I feel like. Just starts yanking him and pulls him down into the cellar with her, and he is unable to keep him out of there. And then that's when blood just starts like shooting out of the cellar door when he goes down. It's like a waterfall. It's like that elevator scene in The Shining where it's just like a cascade of blood pouring out of the cellar.
Just so bright red.
So bright red, so much. And I think that's when Ash comes back in, no longer possessed.
I feel like he's maybe still possessed for a second. There's a moment where he sees that magnifying glass necklace.
Yes.
And it brings him back. He fights against that demon inside of him. And he's able to return to his natural self. But Annie doesn't believe that it's him and is still like trying to kill him and going after him with an axe. That. Yeah, they just totally fair on Annie's part.
But so what he does is he just grabs her face and goes, "I'm okay now."
He does the craziest. Like, I think he like grabs her basically by the throat. Yeah, and is like shaking her like, "It's me. It's my
I'm
me.
Okay.
It's
really me. Listen to me." It's okay, well, I guess. But, you know, he is himself again.
But she does even after that still once more try to stab him, I think. And then eventually is like, "Okay, it seems like it actually is. Seems like it is him."
So then I think this is when they start sort of just suiting up to take
There's
on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a montage. And this is where we get the classic chainsaw arm contraption.
You've seen the
thing.
Halloween costumes.
You've seen it.
And he saws off the shotgun, which what does that do? I know I've heard the phrase sawed off shotgun. What does that make it more of a painful shot?
Maybe it goes faster. Like you can do it faster.
Or like you could do it like when someone's closer to you, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Shotguns far.
Maybe.
Long.
Oh yeah. Maybe it's like easier to aim.
Yeah.
Ugh. I hate thinking about that.
Yeah, it would be bad.
The thing that's funny about this montage, it's like full of heroic music. It's like all the little details in this movie are what make it so funny, and just the fact that it's like do do do. I mean, that's not the music, but it's like
might as well be.
And then there's a slow motion pan to Ash's face when the montage is over. And he just says, "Groovy.
Groovy.
Groovy." Okay. I looked up, why would you saw off a shotgun? One answer is to make it easier and faster to handle.
Okay.
Ease of storage. That feels like a crazy answer.
You guys know what makes things easier to store? Cut them in half. If you're looking to store a couch, just cut it in half. That'll make it easier.
This seems like the actual most reasonable answer, which is that the shorter barrel allows the shot to spread, making it easier to hit your target.
Oh, that makes sense. I don't like knowing that.
I'm on Quora, Quora, that website.
Honestly, it's fucking certified.
And
I fuck with Quora.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Stevens, who's a former criminal judge, retired, says,
No
good reason, a sawn-off shotgun is not only illegal without a specific permit, but it is absolutely useless.
Okay. All right.
Useless.
Thanks.
God, I do not want to get into gun talk right now.
Because yeah, I really don't either. I'm sorry. But let's just say he does it. He has one. Ash has one.
I think it's good to know if you're ever fighting some evil spirits.
Yeah, fine.
And only then.
Literally, that's it. I wish that there were no guns.
Annie gets no weapons. She's armed with her intellect.
Yeah, that's all she needs.
I wish there were no guns as well, for the record. She just has her big rubber mallet knife.
Oh, right.
And nothing, then needs nothing else. She has the pages. She's the only one who can read the pages. So she, at some point, we realize, she's like, there are some pages down there in the cellar where if I read, so I have to read one page and that will open up a black hole. And then, oh, no, no. I read one page and it turns the spirit into something, like gives it a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I read this next page, it creates a black hole and we can push the evil spirit through that black hole and send it somewhere else in space and time. It doesn't, which I like. It's not like we're not getting rid of it entirely. We're just making it somebody else's problem.
Also, a two-step spell is kind of funny to me for some reason. It's kind of like if we're going to deal with it with magic.
Yeah. Why do we just
why
do
is
the
it
one?
Be a two-part thing?
But so Ash has to go down in that cellar and get those freaking pages. But the mom is still down there.
And she gets nasty as hell.
She's nasty.
She grows a long snake neck. Is this where she says, I'll swallow your soul?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Yes. And then he says, swallow this.
Oh, hell.
And
he hell yeah.
And then he shoves the shotgun in her. I have wrote in my notes they have sexual tension for a moment. Oh, he didn't mean that. I don't mean that about the mom. I mean that about
I would love it if in this scene he was like, wait a second.
And it seems like for a second he's into it.
Okay, okay.
You'll swallow me whole.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh.
That really did confuse me. That note confused me. No, no, no.
It says in my notes there's sexual tension in this scene.
I don't mean about the demon. I mean about Ash and Annie. They have sexual tension where they're like, seem like they're going to make out. And it's like, I love it when movies do this. It's like the last thing I would be thinking about is making out with someone right now.
It's also his girlfriend died probably less than 24 hours ago.
Her boyfriend died less than 1 hour ago.
That's true. That's true. It's just, well, I mean, it's like we talked about with Dan Lippert. You'd be
feeling alive.
You'd be hornier in times of stress.
You need to be feeling that your body still works and is tied to this plane. But he does manage to defeat the old lady snake neck monster in the basement, gets the pages, and she starts spell casting. And when she does that, it makes the spirit really mad.
Yeah. I know the like forest kind of comes alive and trees are attacking
the cabin. Yeah. Oh, we missed at one point. Sorry. I don't know when this was. It's a fun little moment where the hand is still alive and he's trying to shoot it through the wall. He tries to shoot it. He thinks he gets it. The little hand demon, which is still out there somewhere. It's like trapped in the walls like a little rat.
It's funny. They do like a repeated gag in this where the noise of the hand is coming from different areas and all of the actors will turn in unison and look in different directions. And it made me laugh every single time. I loved it.
Yeah, it was very good. Annie starts reading the spell.
Also, sorry, one more thing about the hand. There's a part where it flips him off, and just that's is important fun. To say.
Oh, yeah. Wait, important that part, to that say. Part made me laugh so much.
The
because
hand is really funny. The hand is my favorite part.
He looks like offended by it. He's like,
that's
how
the best part.
Dare
that's
you?
The best part. It's because he doesn't get angrier. There's no point when he gets really angrier than when the hand flips him off.
He's
and it's
so
like
mad.
There's so much crazy shit happening to you.
The
dude.
Audacity of my own hand.
But how dare
showing
you
me
flip
that disrespect?
Me off? How dare you?
You're mine. You're my hand.
How? Wait. Wait. That? Wait. What?
How
like that
dare
is a step
you?
Too far.
Yeah, the hand is great. Hand's my favorite part,
hand,
too.
Love the hand. Hand is as fabulous. So Annie starts reading the spell, which turns the forest against the house, and then then the monster comes out, and it was reminding me of, it like comes through and it starts, grabs Ash, trying to kill Ash, but she has to keep reading the spell. But the aesthetic of that monster reminded me of I forget what his name is, but that game show, and I think you should leave. Where
Chunky?
Chunky.
That's a Chunky.
That's a Chunky. It just, he had like a big, it was like a round face and like a big wide smile, and it just reminded me of figure out what you're gonna do.
Oh my god, perfect show.
I'm gonna rewatch perfect that show again as soon as we're done with this.
I don't know.
And but then she does the second spell, which creates the black hole, and it's working, and it's pulling the guy, the monster, but she's ever so close to completing the spell. No, Ash comes over to her and he's like, you're doing it. And then there's definitely tension, and they're like maybe gonna make out, and she is unable to speak, and we see that the hand got her own mallet thing, rubber ducky, and stabbed her in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's dying on the floor, but she somehow manages to say the last word of the spell in death. And so everything starts flying through this big black hole, except also, Ash, because it's so powerful.
And he says, he starts to get, everything's being sucked into the hole. He finally gets sucked into the vortex. And he says, oh, for God's sake.
I mean, it would suck.
And that really made me laugh, too. Oh, good, for God's sake.
And then he lands wherever this black hole sucked him. And we see that he is in the Middle Ages. And the monster, the demon is still there, and he has to.
Yes, this is a time travel movie, and everyone needs to know that this is a fucking time travel trilogy.
Yep. And he just has a final battle with the evil spirit and is able to.
He shoots it with his sawed off shotgun.
And he kills it. And all of the like knights around mm-hmm. him start chanting and cheering, and they're saying, "Hail, he who comes from the skies! He who comes from the skies!
Hail, hail!"
And I think the portal has like closed up now, and he's basically looking around and seeing he's in a different time. And doesn't he just go like, "Oh no!"
And he like looks up at the sky and goes, "No!"
Yeah, he just screams no.
Cheering him on. I mean, honestly, for such a silly movie, that's a very, I mean, no, there'll be a third. That's a very dark ending. Can you imagine? You went through all that shit and then you're stuck in the fucking Middle Ages and there's still a demon there and you still have to kill the demon. I'd be like, it better be dead.
That's what's so funny about his reaction, though. His reaction is so like, are you serious? Like, it's very realistic, but also very like kind of network television-y at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the Looney Tunes like vignette should be circling around his face.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Are you gonna watch Army of Darkness?
Of course.
I could watch Army of Darkness. Honestly. I'm curious.
I wasn't planning on it, but if anyone forced me to, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I think Army of Darkness is probably even less scary. I wouldn't say that this movie is particularly scary, but it's even leaning further into comedy and like action. And
hell yeah.
I saw Army of Darkness first. That was the first one I saw, and so I didn't actually even know that it was part of the Evil Dead trilogy at first, because it feels tonally different. But I want to rewatch it now, having recently seen these other two, and I feel like it'll be much more satisfying.
Yeah, I would totally watch it.
Wow, thank you guys so much for being brave and watching this film with me.
It was fun.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
I'm glad that you liked it. I thought I had a feeling that it would probably be one that we could all handle and enjoy. Yeah.
It really
made me
laugh.
And it was an hour and 25 minutes, which I was so thrilled by.
Absolutely loved to see it.
So that was great news for me. For all of us, really. What a great treat.
Sammy, thank you so much for choosing this one. I'm so happy that I get to say that I've seen this movie
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
It's a good like staple of the horror genre, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly mm-hmm. but surely, exactly. You guys are just
making our way.
Becoming horror experts.
Ooh.
Should we do the little hand voice as the goodbye?
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.